Hello, photography lovers. You're listening to the Fashion Photography Podcast, and I'm your host, the fashion advertising photographer, Virginia Yanchima. Since it's Wednesday, I'm here with another guest. She's also a photographer, and she's an amazing woman. Her name is Tamara Williams. And today we'll be talking about when do you know when you're ready? And do you really need formal photography education, setting and working towards your goals? We're also discussing how she got published in Vogue and what's like to work with a licensing agency. And talking about this, should you give your images for free? You received the answers of all these questions and even more in today's interview.
Hey there, my name is Tamara Williams. I'm a international working beauty photographer. I'm based in Germany, Stuttgart. My passion is beauty photography, and I've been doing this for 5 years now.
How did you find out about beauty photography? What was the first photograph that sparked this love to beauty photography?
Well, actually, it wasn't really me getting inspired by other photographers and saying, wow, I want to do this. It was more or less me always ending up in the face of the model. It wouldn't matter what I would shoot. If it was a paid client, like family portraits at the very beginning, or just a girl who wants the flawless images of herself. Even though she wanted full crop images, I ended up in the face at the end of the day. So I kind of found out that was my passion. Like, I have an obsession for faces and eyes. But then I think after that, obviously, I saw some really good beauty photographers. So I was like, okay, listen, this is what I want to do.
You said that you were ending up at Face of the Model. So you've been shooting different stuff before the beauty photography.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, everybody starts out. And since I'm not a learned or a studied photographer, I'm a self-taught photographer. Mm-hmm. I learned everything myself. Of course, at the very beginning of my career, I literally did everything that made money, right? Because you got to survive. I shot cars, I shot animals, I shot family portraits, fashion, yeah, all these kind of things, normal portraits of people. That's what I shot at the very beginning. But saying, or when it came to shooting people, I literally always ended up in the face. I ended up so close, and people were like, okay, but what about my dress? And I'm like, yeah, but your face. And they're like, yeah, but my dress. I'm like, no, shut up. Face. Yeah, that's literally how I found out, like, my passion for beauty, I think.
And since you're a self-taught photographer, what was the most useful resource you've been drawing your education from?
Education. See, nowadays, on a job, a client would never ask me for my education.
Sure. Like, they, or nobody, diploma.
Yeah, nobody literally gives a excuse my language, but the point is, if they like your work, they don't care how you look, how old you are, how long you've been doing this for. If they like your images, they like your images, and that's it. But what helped me on my way was definitely that I've been talking to a lot of photographers, not only saying to big photographers, because I was just talking to a lot of photographers, because everybody has a different point of view. This kind of helped me out to create what I needed and to pick out what I needed out of information. And to be honest, I think if someone is asking me, so Tamara, how did you do it? And I'm like, okay, listen, I can tell it to you in 10 minutes and you can try it again. But at the end of the day, you're the one who's building your own castle. That's what I'm saying. So even if other people hand you some stones, you will need to build it. It depends on how you build it. If you build it in a rush and too fast, it might break down really soon because you're just rushing and you're not delivering quality.
And you're not ready for this, not ready for clients, not ready at all.
No. But then a lot of people still, actually, I just had a talk to one of my in-house retouchers about that. Just talked about it. And we just talked about how so many people, they think they are ready, but they're not. Even me, like, being in the industry for 5 years now, sometimes I'm like, oh, girl, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Because clients are a lot. They're a lot to handle. And only being good in photography doesn't mean you will be a good photographer. When it comes to being a photographer, I think there's a lot more involved than just being good and taking pictures. Like, it's about how you're doing the marketing of yourself, how you're communicating to other people, how you're communicating to your clients. There's, like, so many things involved. But yeah, literally what helped me most, what I found, was talking to other photographers and benefit from their experiences. And that's actually funny, because nowadays there were people, I took, like, some workshops. When I say workshops, I'm not talking about 5-hour Photoshop or 5 or 6-hour shooting in a studio with a professional model and professional makeup. No, I'm talking about a $50 workshop I took somewhere in some studio with some photographer. And at the end of the day, she reached out to me 2 years ago. She goes, Tamara, I can't believe I taught you something 2 years ago. And now you're levels, major levels ahead of me. Why did that happen?
What was your answer?
First of all, I felt weird. Obviously, she was right. She taught me something back in the days, but she still was like shooting all these portraits and animals and whatever. And I was shooting for Glamour, Harper's Bazaar, L'Officiel, whatsoever. I was like chatting around the world. And so I was like, then I think you're good at what you're doing. And as long as you're happy with your situation, I think that's okay. That's fine. For me, I just would have not been happy with still shooting animals and cars and whatever. To earn my money. That was never my goal. I always reached for the stars. I always was like, okay, listen, so my goal one day, I don't know, but I want to shoot Beyonce. So this is a pretty high goal, or at least Leonardo DiCaprio, because I'm a huge fan of him. But yeah. I mean, yes. Okay. That's literally my goal.
It's very cool that we are talking about this because, first of all, yes, I completely agree with you that it's a complicated business. It's not just the art of photography. You have to know plenty of knowledge in order to make it in this industry. But at the same time, you're talking about goals, and I think it's very cool. Do you think that setting goals is important in this business?
Yeah, I totally think that's the most important. When people ask me, Tamara, how did your career went up so fast by that short amount of time? Because mind you, I'm only 5 years in this business, and after 2 years, I already landed my first Vogue. And I'm not talking about Vogue Italia, Vogue Online. No, I'm talking about printing Vogue. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about an advertisement or whatever. My name was in there and a shot of mine was in there. So for me, doing this for 2 years, I think it was two and a half, and then being in Vogue, that was like, what is going on? But it was my first goal. My first goal, obviously, I think it's like for every photographer. Everybody is like, oh, I want to be in Vogue. Oh. That was my first goal. And I worked so hard towards it. I pushed myself so hard. And I think setting goals, but not only setting goals, it's about working for them. Because what a lot of people don't see is the work you're putting in there. And this is why I said that, because a lot of people are like, oh, Tamara, okay, how did you get up that fast? And I'm like, okay, listen, here's the problem. While you are wondering how I got up there so fast, you're not looking at the effort I put in. You try to find the short way. You try to find the vitamin B. You try to find some context that will help you to do it. But that's not the truth. Truth is that you will need to sit on your ass. You will need to have sleepless nights because you're still arguing with your client from the week before because he's still not happy, but you kind of want it to be perfect. So you still are working on it. You're working on yourself. You're growing. You need to push yourself through uncomfortable situations. And this is where the growing starts, where you start to achieving your goals. Every time you're pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, you're getting closer and closer to your goal. This is what I can say for myself, because I've always been pushing myself and it was so hard. And I had days without even sleeping. Once I didn't sleep 3 days in a row. I wasn't even hungry because we were on set and people were like, Tamara, are you crazy? I'm like, no, but I have something to do. I need to do it right now. I need to finish it. And if I don't, they just won't book me again, whatever. So I put in so much hard work. I'm not saying that you need to just stay awake 7 days a week and you shouldn't sleep. That's not what I'm saying.
But you have to be devoted.
Exactly. You have to be passionate about what you're doing. You need to set priorities right in order to get what you want. You cannot be, okay, I need to do this image, but I'm kind of tired. So let me just go to bed. Let me do it tomorrow. I need to finish this image, or I need to organize the shooting, but my friends are going out to party. So I will just join them. I don't have time for this bullshit right now. This is wrong. I had a lot of time by myself and I literally was like, I felt like I have no friends at all because I was staying at home at the weekends, no party. Nothing. But at the end of the day, everything of that paid off. It's a lot of work that comes into achieving your goals and setting your goals. But definitely for me, it helps me a lot to write down my goals. That's what
really?
I do every day. Yeah, it does. It does. That's what I do every day when I wake up. I usually wake up between 7 or 8 a.m., which a lot of people will be like, what? Why would you wake up that early? I'm like, okay, listen, because if I start early, I have so much stuff to do
and so much time to do them.
Exactly. And because I know myself, because also I'm working international. I'm in Stuttgart in Germany. So I'm like European time zone, but I'm working international. And international, I mean America, Australia and all this stuff. And there's a huge time difference, right? So I need to keep up with this because when I normally go to bed, which would be something around 10 or 11, the people in LA or New York are starting to work. So yeah, so I kind of want to try to answer all my emails before all that time, just so I, and even sometimes people would be up late from the States. So I kind of catch them in the morning when I just wake up. Yeah, this is what I do. I wake up and then I just grab myself a piece of paper and I write down every goal I have today. What do I need to do today? How important is it? If it's important, I will just mark it red or whatever. And I will start off with the important things. And then I will start marking the things that don't take a lot of time. So I will continue with this. And then I will do the rest. And I will do this every day because this helps me to keep track and not getting lost, I think.
Is your list usually very long?
Yeah, it is. I don't know what's wrong, if I have Alzheimer's or something, but literally I forgot everything. Sometimes I might talk to you, but in the middle of the sentence, I'm like, yeah, but what was I about to say? I don't know.
I can totally feel it here because I have the same problem. And I'm constantly writing down everything.
Okay.
But I think it's because our minds are too busy and we have too much stuff to do. And your brain is kind of wandering. And I think it's a perfect way to write down everything.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to hand this over to all the people in my inner circle, like people who are really close to me. If you're feeling lost, if you're feeling overwhelmed, don't do, because everything is possible. It's just a matter of how do you set priorities and how do you make up your mind? Like, just write down everything. You don't be like, I make a list in my brain. No, if you're like, you have so much things in your brain, it will just not happen. So just write it down. Even if you feel like a child who's just learning to how to write and what do I do today? Or this is my homework, whatever. It doesn't matter. It just helps you to keep track. Well, this is what I can say. And see, not only for me, also for you. So I'm not the only one over here.
Oh, no, you're not the only one. I tried this thing with the list in my head, but it's definitely not working because I'm anxious all the time. I'm like, what was that? I have to do something additional, but I'm not sure. So with the list, it's very, very easy. But at the same time, some people get offended. For example, when some friends are asking me when we can see each other, probably they expect me to say, okay, Wednesday after 6, when they're finishing work. But it's not the same in our industry. So usually I say, I have to check my notebook. And they're like, you need to put me in your notebook?
Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned this about parties and friends and sleepless nights. What was the biggest sacrifice you made for your photography?
So I'm a learned bank clerk. So I had a training in a bank for like 2.5 years. And after finishing it, I immediately hopped into this freelancing photography thing, which meant back in the days, I didn't have constant clients. I didn't have someone who would like booking me every month or whatever. So I needed to look for my clients. And there was this one point I remember, I think it was the first 6 or 7 months, I literally had nothing. By saying nothing, I mean nothing, because I didn't even have any money to put gas in my car. Excuse me. I had a beautiful car out there, but I had no gas to put in there. So my parents, now they are supportive. Back then they were just like, Tamara, there are so many photographers out there. Why would you do that? You know, that's like a really German thing. A German mentality is like, have your job, it's secured, you're getting your loan each month, don't step out of the range, just go with the flow. That's a very German thing to do. And my parents kind of were like that. And even my grandma, and I love my grandma from the very bottom of my heart, she goes, Tamara, no, don't do that. And I did it, ended up having no money and saying they are supportive now, but they never supported me with any money because they were like, if you want to do it, well, then
do it by yourself.
Do it by yourself. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really thankful that they did it, because those 6-7 months, I felt like some really weird monster that was living in a cave, like not coming out because I was so broke. Like I couldn't even afford something new to dress. Like everybody's like, hey, let's go shopping. I'm like, yeah, I'm busy. Knowing that my account just said 000. For me, that was a pretty hard thing to let down my friends, to let down my standards, because I had standards. Because when I was working at the bank, I had a good loan. So I was earning a good money. And then I needed to lower my standards for this. That's where all this got combined with like staying awake for 3 days, even forgetting to eat. That's what happens to me on shootings all the time. I forget to eat.
Because I should eat. That's very important.
I know, but I forget it every time I'm set. I'm like so into it. And then the model and the makeup artist go, Tamara, can we make a break? I'm like, no, let's go. Let's do this. And they're like, but we're hungry. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not. So And this is, well, what I found out now, because now I learn from my mistakes. That's a really rude way. Just because I'm not hungry doesn't mean other people are not hungry, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, okay, let's get some catering and you guys grab something to eat if you're hungry. But for me, I don't know. My mind is just too busy. And at that moment, I just can't eat. But yeah.
What was the lesson you wanted to learn before a photo shoot, before this? Because like you said, most lessons we learn after something happened. So is there something you wanted to learn before a photo shoot to be prepared?
I'm pretty good with people, so that helps a lot. If you're pretty good with people, you can talk to people. And if you can talk to people, you can mostly solve the problems on set, if there are any. But except the eating thing, everybody is actually happy and I cannot think of.
Okay. After this hard moment with the big sacrifice, how did you find your first clients?
Funny thing, they found me. I feel like what goes around comes around. And if something is meant to be, it will always find its way.
Absolutely.
I put in so much effort that at one point it needed to pay off. It needed to pay off that every money I earned, I took and I put back in my career. I was hiring a model. I was going in and renting a studio. I was renting a better camera. I was working together with makeup artists that I paid for. All this. I knew at some point, I was down. I was like, no, man. And then people started to hate on me and laugh at me. That's also another really, really big thing in my life. Like everybody was like, Tamara, just stop what you're doing. You're never make it. No, you're just a funny piece of shit. That's literally what they said to me. And they were like laughing at me and whatever. But I knew because I put in so much work. I was like, no, and one day there needs to be a point where everything pays off.
Yeah.
Well, and that happened. I got this one phone call and someone called me. Hey, is this Tamara Williams? Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I got your number from someone who told me you're like a freaky, open-minded, really creative photographer. And that's exactly what I need for my actual project. And I was like, okay, cool. So what is the project about? And then he goes, yeah, it's an international calendar for a company which makes horse riding shoes. Cowboy boots, I think was it. Okay, I mean, you know, whatever pays my bills, let's do it. And actually, it was really good. And that was literally my first international job already.
And it was your sort of first job.
Yeah, it was my first job. It's funny, right? My mother is still keeping the calendar in the house. So aww. I'm like, okay, yeah. It's funny because it was my first big job. And from that on, don't ask me what happened, but everybody was reaching out to me. Magazines from New York reaching out to me, asking me for an interview. German magazines reaching out to me, asking for interviews. I don't know why exactly Greece started to reach out to me, but people from Greece started to reach out to me. El Greece and L'Officiel Greece. Mm-hmm. So I started to work with them. Of course, I also got some publications and like those kind of Elements and Elegance magazine. But that was like the very first one or two publications I got. And then I got publicated in Elle and then L'Officiel and then again Elle and then again L'Officiel. And that's where the magic literally happened. Also, I was just calling this one agency, like this licensing agency. It was something about copyright I wanted to ask them. And I just wanted to ask them a question. I never thought that they would be like, hey, Tamara, why don't you just sign with us? They asked me if I want to sign with them. I was like, wow. Yeah, I was like, of course. Oh my God. There were like so big photographers in this agency. So I was like, of course I want to sign with them. But then I got the contract that, see, it's a licensing. So it's about selling images. It's not about jobs. So I was like, oh, that's a bit a lot. So I decided to call the other agency, which I knew was big in the business. So I called them. I was like, hey, listen, guys, I just wanted to ask. I know that might be weird and random and whatever, but I just wanted to ask, like, how many person, blah, blah, blah. And then they go, so yeah, why don't you just sign with us? I'm like, what? Wait, what is happening right now?
Did you actually call them?
I actually called them. I'm that kind of person who's really upfront. That's maybe sometimes not a good thing, but sometimes it can be a good thing. I mean, if I would have not called them, maybe, I don't know, would I be signed with them now? I don't know yet. The other agency, which I didn't sign with, I passed on because I thought the other agency was better. Not only because of the percentage, it was also because of the fact that they were caring a bit more about me. So yeah, that's when I decided to sign with the other agency.
Which
so not
is
the one.
Very important. To feel that they care about you.
Exactly, yeah.
And how do you feel now when you have this contract? What do they do for you? This is a very interesting topic that we've never talked about in this show.
I'm signed with them for, I think 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I think it should be 3 years. From the very beginning, I was angry with them. But I told them, I was like, okay, guys, you're not supporting me enough. You're like, I'm not even on your homepage. What's wrong with you? It makes no sense to me. But my agent goes, Tamara, give it a bit time. We are waiting for the right moment to put you out there, to put you out to the market, to present you to the clients. And we mm-hmm. think you're good. You're very good. But you're just, it's something is missing. You don't have enough material whatsoever. So we were just waiting for the right moment. I got so mad at them. I sent so many mad emails at them. I was annoyed. They're managing Annie Leibovitz. They're managing Terry Richardson. They're managing like all, I think Merton Marcus as well. And of course I knew, like, you know, I was like the small light at the bottom, annoying them over and over again because I didn't make any money. So I was like, guys, hi, who? But I was like, yeah, but they're like, no, tomorrow, give it some time. And you know what? I'm really happy they were like that because they knew it wasn't just the right time to come out with me back then.
And you were still in Germany.
I was still in Germany. By that time, I got flown in from client from Azerbaijan to Cape Town to shoot a cover mm-hmm. story. And that was like the first time when I was in Cape Town. Yeah, so it kind of all mixed up because this happened. So I was like talking and working and growing with my agency. And then on the other hand, I got still booked for covers, editorials, pay tests for models, all this stuff.
Do you have to tell them about those editorial stuff?
Well, okay, how does licensing work?
Yeah.
They have my images. It's just like Shutterstock, but high end. This is how you can imagine it. So they're offering it to art buyers all over the world, and then they can buy it or they cannot buy it. Obviously, since they're managing the best photographers and a lot of photographers, every art buyer has plenty of options. So it's kind of hard to, you know, stand out of the crowd. But if I'm shooting an editorial for a magazine, no, they don't need to know about it. If I am shooting something and then afterwards sending it out to magazines, I'm like, hey, look at this. Do you want to buy it? Yes, they need to know about it. But if I'm shooting for Elle, if I'm shooting for Cosmopolitan, if I'm shooting for whoever, no, it's fine. And also if I'm having a campaign or if I'm having a job, they don't need to know about it because they're not my artist management. They are my licensing management.
That's exactly the difference. You're experiencing this right now. And most of the people have no idea what's the difference between creative agency and...
Yeah, I know that a lot of people don't know the difference, which is also, I think I do want to give this a talk real quick because people, please don't give your images out for free. Please don't do that because this is literally screwing up the whole market. Why? Because you are the copyright holder. Mm-hmm. If you are shooting something and somebody is taking it for a commercial kind of advertisement whatsoever, they are making money out of it. Don't lower your rates to like $500 a day and then they're advertising with your images for like 3 years and they're a big company. No, this is so wrong because copyright and usage of images costs money because they're using your artwork. And a lot of people don't understand that. And I think it's not only that people don't understand it. And I think it's because a lot of people don't know about it. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest problem about it.
And many advertising agencies are not even trying to explain this.
Yes, I know. They're just like, hey, we have a job. Are you free? What's your day rate? That's exactly how they go. I just recently got a request and make a brand. They reach out to me and they go, so what's your day rate? And I'll go, okay, according to what you're shooting, because it depends. Are you shooting e-commerce? Are you shooting advertisement? Are you shooting packaging? Like, what are you shooting a commercial? What are you shooting? Because that's on how my day rate depends on, first mm-hmm. of all. And then obviously, it depends on what you're shooting and where will it be published, for how long or whatsoever, because additionally, you will need to pay me my licensing. And that's where they got pretty shocked. And even though it was a big company, they got pretty shocked because I think they didn't think of this. I don't know, maybe it's sometimes also the clients not knowing because there are a lot of photographers. They're like, okay, this is a big beauty brand. Let me just shoot it for less money so I will get the job.
Absolutely, which is so, I'm sorry about the word, but it's stupid.
It
first
is.
Of all, because most of the brands, they look for quality, not for the price that you're exactly. going to give. I have several examples for this. So once a colleague gave a really, really, really low price for a certain request, and the client was so amazed because they knew that the photographer is good, but they thought that there is something wrong because mm-hmm. the price was too low. The colleague gave low price simply because he wanted to have this client in their list, which is very stupid. Give the normal price, and you know, if they take you, perfect. If not, at least you know you're not working for some pennies or something like that.
Exactly.
And another example is with a fellow photographer who did exactly this. He gave his day rate and he wanted nothing else. So when the client came to me, I told them what you have told your clients.
Yeah.
They were like, oh my God, that's so not okay. Your colleagues are not like this. Yeah, said, okay, yeah, go exactly. to my colleagues. This is lack of education.
Yeah.
Because we are supposed to educate our clients.
Exactly. Exactly. It's funny. And I recently also had something and I knew that they were in the need of a beauty photographer. So they reached out to me asking me if I would be free. Well, knowing for what it was for and all the money they're making out of it, I was like, okay, listen, this is my day rate. This is the payout. But I also go always when I'm texting to people who want to hire me, I always go, please get back at me. I'm sure we can discuss about it.
Of course.
Because I'm open to discuss. If you are a client and I really want you, like, let's discuss about it. But then mostly they go, oh, tomorrow, thank you very much.
But it's too high
but
price.
It's too high. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's our budget doesn't allow us to work with you. But then I'm like, okay, but then why don't we just discuss? Okay, cool.
Okay, let's stop for today. Tomorrow is very exciting and our interview was very long with plenty of insights in it. So I believe you'll be really excited for the next episode too. Until next Wednesday, you can check out her website and also her Instagram. You can see them linked in the show notes along with my details. You can find all of our previous podcasts as usual on JudeFashionMagazine.com and NeverlandMag.com. They're our partners and also waiting for your editorials. I'll see you this Friday for our anniversary show and we'll be answering your questions. If you have any questions for me or George, you can follow the links in the show notes and you can record your question for us. Thank you very much for being with me today and I'll see you this Friday.